Salvation by grace through faith, the Christological meaning of marriage, the resplendent armor of God. These are some of the themes that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the New Concordia Commentary on Ephesians. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians at issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians.
Marilyn Monroe and her life is an image for the way in which the sexual revolution is promoted as this wonderful thing, but all the problems are airbrushed out.
To a stranger who walks in, who doesn't know all the same 30 praise choruses that are currently hot on the pop charts, that can be as off-putting and intimidating as someone walking into a Greek Orthodox church and having the whole service being Greek.
So we can say, when we look at the manifestation of tongues where people lose control of themselves, that it is clearly an evidence not of the presence of the Holy Spirit, but of the absence of the Holy Spirit.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads love Issues Etc.
There are some names that just keep popping up again and again and again. When you get celebrity pastors, rock star pastors, they make it eventually not only into kind of the popular evangelical mindset, they become household words there. They make it into the news. One of those names that was recently in the news as of, all last year was Mark Driscoll, formerly of Mars Hill out there in Seattle, Washington. He's back in the news. Why is that? It's This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday afternoon, June the 12th, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Chris Roseborough will join us here for the first half hour or so of this hour. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's a little game we like to play with our listeners on Fridays. We get four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We play them for you. You listen, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. You send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll give away the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week coming up here in about a half hour on the program. In the meantime, Chris Roseborough joins us, as he does every week, for This Week in Pop American Christianity. He's pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
All right. Mark Driscoll, who we talked about a lot, is back in the news. Reintroduce us to him, and why is he back in the news?
Well, the reason why Driscoll is back in the news is kind of twofold, is because he's kind of on a resuscitate his image tour, but he was also recently dropped from the Hillsong Conference, which is going to be in a couple weeks in Sydney. And if everyone remembers, Mark Driscoll is the former vision casting leader of Mars Hill Church up in Seattle, Washington. They were a multi-site church, and Mark Driscoll was the man who headed up the Resurgence Network, was instrumental in forming the Acts 29 Church Planners Network, and for better part of a decade was, you know, kind of the young, restless, and reformed mega church leader that everybody looked to and that many pastors went into ministry to try to emulate. So it's kind of an important thing that he's in the news again, and unfortunately he ended up leaving ministry due to several different scandals that just kind of hit all, you know, one after another, including a plagiarism scandal, a scandal where it was revealed that church funds to the tune of, you know, $200,000+ were spent to artificially make him a New York Times best-selling author, and then you have abuse claims and all kinds of things that came out of Mars Hill.
Okay, Hillsong. This, we're not talking small potatoes here. We're talking about arguably, if not the largest, certainly not the largest, but the most influential megachurch in the world, aren't we?
Yeah, they are literally, you know, if what Saddleback was in, you know, 10 years ago, Hillsong has become really in the last few years. They are a world-dominating, you know, brand, if you would, mostly known initially for their music. Many churches sing Hillsong songs as part of their praise and worship sets on Sunday mornings. And Brian Houston, the vision casting leader for Hillsong, is somebody who is literally, you know, you cannot talk about somebody who's more influential than he is. And so, you know, their conference coming up in Sydney in a couple weeks, which I was invited to, by the way, but I had to decline the invitation, it's the conference to appear to, you know, appear at if you are, you know, somebody who's a who's who in the seeker-driven movement.
So this is akin to being disinvited from the White House in the evangelical world.
Yeah, something very much akin to that, yes. That's a good way to put it.
Okay, our first cut comes from Pastor Brian Houston, you mentioned before, of Hillsong. What should we be listening for here, Chris?
Yeah, this past week, the news broke that he uninvited Mark Driscoll to speak at the conference, and the announcement was made, and he was interviewed on the Sunrise program, which is kind of similar to the Today program, but the Sunrise program airs in Sydney, Australia, and they're talking about his uninviting of Mark Driscoll.
As we've been reporting this morning, Hillsong Church has come under fire for inviting disgraced American preacher Mark Driscoll to speak at their annual conference.
Now, among other remarks, he infamously claimed that women were created to house a man's penis. Senior pastor of Hillsong, Brian Houston, joins us now from Waterloo. Good morning to you, Brian. It's always good to talk to us. Thank you. I know how busy you are, particularly on a Sunday morning. Pretty offensive comments, Brian. You know, did you know all of these things when you booked him to come out here for the conference?
Hi, Monique. I didn't know. Mark, he's very well known in evangelical circles all around the world, and so we invited him before this major controversy started. He was going to speak, he was going to preach and teach at the conference, and so when these things all began to break, I changed it to an interview. So I want to ask him, I want to hear whether these things are true. That particular statement, the first time I ever heard that, to be honest with you, is just in these last two or three days. And so if he did say that, it's disgraceful and degrading.
Yeah. Pastor, you know, it's part of a general doctrine of Driscoll's over the years that women were really created for men's use and should be subservient and submissive to women. Just to be clear, that is not Hillsong Church's belief.
Entirely different. I would see things absolutely the opposite when it comes to women's place in society and their role in the church. And of course at Hillsong we've got many, many women who are pastors, who do speak on the platform, who are heavily involved in leadership positions off the platform. So it couldn't be further from where we stand.
Well, Chris, this is a mess on both sides. Is that a good way of talking about it?
Yeah, it is. It you know, it's so funny that I don't even think Brian Houston realizes just how off he sounds to somebody who understands what the Bible teaches regarding, you know, who is qualified to be a leader in the church today, and not just today, but every day that the church has existed. And so, on the one hand, what's happened, and I think this is kind of a PR move on the point of Brian Houston, you know, they came under fire when the secular media in Sydney decided to do kind of an expose on Mark Driscoll and ask the question, why is Hillsong inviting this disgraced pastor to come and speak on the platform? And what's kind of sad about this is that there was a furor when it was announced that Driscoll was going to be speaking on the platform at Hillsong, and the furor kind of came from within Christian circles, but that didn't stop Hillsong. But as soon as the world got wind of it, and the secular media got wind of really what was going on, and they decided to you know ask the question, why would you have this man speak? Well, then Brian Houston sprung into action and decided, well, if the secular world is going to give us a black eye about this, then maybe it's time to uninvite Mark, which is kind of the mess. But on the other end of it, and he's very open about the fact that Hillsong's views are very much in line with modern-day Australian culture, and they allow women to be pastors, which God's Word absolutely forbids.
So we're not saying here that they didn't have good reason to disinvite Mark Driscoll, and his statements are almost always over the top when it comes to human sexuality and relationships between men and women, mm-hmm. but there are other reasons to have disinvited him, or perhaps not have invited him in the first place.
Right. When the announcement came out, I mean, Driscoll, you know, it's not like, you know, things had only just begun to break regarding the scandals regarding Driscoll. No, they had been breaking for the better part of half of a year. So you're going back to the summer of last year, late summer of last year, when it was announced that Driscoll would be speaking at the Hillsong Conference. And by then, we already knew that Driscoll had plagiarized other authors in 13 of his books. At that point, we already knew about him bragging about the pile of dead bodies behind the Mars Hill bus. At that point, we already knew about Driscoll spending over $200,000 in church's tithe money to artificially make him a New York Times best-selling author. All of this was already out in the open, and should have prevented any organization that calls themselves Christian from inviting Mark Driscoll to come and speak and minister to people from their stage. But, you know, that didn't stop Hillsong, and the only thing that stopped Hillsong is when the world kind of got involved and the secular media said that, you guys call yourselves Christians, why would you have this man come and speak? And, you know, at that point, the public relations debacle, you know, had really, you know, spread outside of the church, and so they capitulated and decided to, in their own best interest, if you would, to throw Driscoll under their own bus.
Irony. There are two things I wanted to ask you about. First of all, what can we learn about the kind of the vision casting movement in the church from this? And then also the fact that Hillsong only springs into action when the secular media takes note of this. What does that tell you?
What that tells us is that Hillsong is really all about their own image. They're a corporation. It's all about their public relations. It's all about their bottom line and their money. And if, you know, things stay contained within the Christian world, then they are going to pretty much not do anything. But if it's going to get out in a way that could affect their market share in the wider market, since they're trying to, you know, personally make these broad appeals to unchurched people, then they'll make a decision. I mean, it really is a mess. Their values are clearly in the wrong place. And if they were truly concerned about what the Bible teaches about who is fit to be a pastor in Christ's church, then they were standing on principle, they would have never invited Driscoll. But they weren't standing on principle. They don't care about what God's word teaches regarding who should be a pastor and who should not be a pastor, as evidenced by the fact they have women being pastors. For them, it's all about the business. It's all about the image. It's all about the market share.
And what can we learn about the vision casting movement in the church from this?
Vision casting leaders, they support each other, and they're not accountable to anybody except for those who could impact their market share.
Chris Rosebrough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday, June the 12th. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, we're going to talk about a Lifetime TV show called Preacher's Daughters and Prophetesses. Be right back. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
God wasn't simply our friend, but God was our fishing buddy. You know, we'd do anything in front of him and we didn't care. And that certainly denigrated who God is and denigrated worship.
If the Supreme Court upholds the man-woman marriage laws that are pending there right now, then it's further proof that all of those lower court decisions were erroneous from the get-go.
The new atheists always like to hold themselves up as open-minded, but actually, having a foundation in faith allows one to have a much more searching skepticism.
We rejoice in suffering not because, hey, it feels good. It feels terrible. It feels awful. The joy comes from knowing God's presence in our suffering. And then we rely not on ourselves, but on the God who raises the dead.
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Just a taste of the four soundbites we'll play for you. And then you'll vote, and your vote will decide which one will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's in the last 20 minutes. Of Issues Etc. Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Chris, moving on to another subject, what can you tell us about this Lifetime television program called Preach?
New program, not to be confused with their Preacher's Daughters program. That's another program. And what this program does is follow the lives and ministries of four women who all claim to be prophetesses. And you know, have prophetic ministry, and underneath them they have each a protege that they're training up to become a prophetess in their own right, you know, to take over particular regions. It's absolutely a train wreck and fascinating to listen to all at the same time.
So explain if you would, prophetess. What do they mean by that?
Well, they mean they receive direct revelation from God, and they speak for God. In fact, in one of the sound bites, one of them will actually make that very clear. So they claim to have a prophetic gift that they then exercise, and they're basically telling men they need to move over because, you know, it's now time for these prophetesses to arise.
For many years, preaching has been a man's game, but it's our turn now. Some women known as prophetess are rising to the top and being acknowledged in the Christian church. It's still a man's world, but I say, it's my world.
Woo!
Prophetesses, we aren't just preachers. We receive divine messages straight from God.
I hear the Lord now. You didn't get the love you needed from your father.
Okay.
I command everything that's been holding you to loose her right now in the name of Jesus.
Our young protégés, they have the gift of prophecy, but only after having been trained by a prophetess can they hone their skills to one day unleash the power of God.
You too jacked up to prophesy to anybody.
I'm not done talking.
Protégés must undergo prophetic challenges.
Quote me 10 scriptures right now.
I'm afraid of knowing God.
Overcome personal struggles.
I started stripping. I was kidnapped. I was on America's Most Wanted.
Excuse me.
And prove to their mentors that they have what it takes.
I'm a threat to you.
You got a protege that don't have their self together. Where is she now?
Training is not easy.
So I knew there was demons in me.
Oh, God!
But if they endure the process, they may one day earn the title of being called a prophetess.
It's my time.
Well, look, Chris, are you sure that this is not satire?
I wish it was satire. No, it's not satire. These women literally claim that they are prophetesses and that what they're doing is the work of the Lord. And this reality TV show, literally, it's kind of like watching this train wreck of theology and false prophetesses mixed with kind of something that's along the lines of Donald Trump's The Apprentice. So you follow when you watch this program, you're following the lives and ministries of these four prophetess women and their protégés as their protégés are kind of doing what's necessary through these prophetic challenges that they're facing in order to, to rise up and become prophetesses of their own. I mean, it sounds like satire. It sounds like some kind of a joke. It sounds like some kind of a twisted comedy, but unfortunately it's not. This is a reality show, and these women literally think that they are real prophetesses.
Well, let's hear a little bit from Prophetess Belinda Scott.
My name is Prophetess Belinda Scott, and I am the only major prophetess in this region. A prophetess is a woman who speaks directly to God and who is charged with the mandate to speak for God. That gift was bestowed upon me at the age of 11 years old.
This is the season for success.
God has anointed me to be used by him to help people, to change their life, and to give them a positive direction.
Stop trying to fit in. You already belong.
The test of a prophetess is that which they speak comes to pass. I was able to see in a dream the events of Hurricane Katrina weeks before it happened.
All right, these kind of claims can be made here. First, let's talk about the test of a prophetess, taking the female suffix off for a moment, leaving that off to the side, test of a prophet. Is that all there is to it?
Yeah, no, actually, there isn't, because when you look at the test of the prophet, which you can find in the book of Deuteronomy, I think Deuteronomy 18 and also Deuteronomy 21, if I'm not mistaken, both of them kind of lay out tests that are given directly by God as to how you can test whether or not somebody is a true or a false prophet. And one of the tests is whether or not if they claim something's going to happen, if it comes to pass, then that's doesn't necessarily make them a true prophet, because God himself makes it clear that that's not the only test. The other test is doctrinal. It's theological. And if they're going to teach you false doctrine, teach you to worship other deities, and don't think an other deity just has to be, a god like Molech or Asherah. A false god can also be a god named Jesus who's theologically isn't at all like the biblical Jesus. So there's a test of a prophet's prophecy as well as their message, and only if both things line up are they truly considered a prophet. But it's clear from what these women are saying, and already in these two sound bites, they've said stuff that is blatantly contrary to what God's word says, and we can know for certain it doesn't matter if they were to actually even raise somebody from the dead, that they are false prophets, and the reason for that is because of their false doctrine.
Next, we're going to hear from Prophetess Takeeta Williams. What's in store for us here?
She's one of the more entertaining ones on the program. She's got some kind of swagger to her. I don't think you'll see anything about the denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following me in her presentation. It kind of speaks for itself.
I am Prophetess Takeeta Williams.
You need a turnaround in your marriage!
You know, many call me the Beyonce of gospel.
Somebody tell sickness, beat it!
I've been a prophetess for 17 years. I'm out the box. I'm courageous. And everything I touch, it's going to blow up. Boom.
Okay, Chris, what's the message here of these prophetesses?
Well, here's the thing. If they were true prophetesses, the book of Revelation says that the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. We're not hearing anything about Jesus from these women. No, not at all. We're hearing a lot about them. And that's kind of the point that makes it clear that we're dealing with false prophetesses, because if they truly had some kind of a prophetic gift, they would be calling people to repent of their sins, trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, bear fruit in keeping with that repentance. Instead, they're so obsessed with what they think is their prophetic gift that the only people these women can really talk about are themselves, and creating these scenarios by which they can flex their prophetic muscles and cast out demons and show how powerful they are, rather than showing how powerful Christ is. I mean, it's really truly tragic if it weren't so ridiculously silly. And that's the bad part about all of this, is these women are so self-deceived that they're buying their own lies and believing that it's the truth, and they are blind and really still steeped in sin and in unbelief, because they're not believing the truth regarding who Jesus is and what he's done and who Jesus has said is qualified to be leaders in the church. What these women are doing, it's an absolute abomination. And the other part of it is that all of the non-believers who would watch this program would basically say, Christianity is for the mentally ill. It's a religion for people who are absolutely stupid, because why would anybody believe this has anything to do with God? If this is what God is like, I can deduce from this that God must be insane, and I don't really want to have anything to do with God or Christianity.
So what are we to make of, I know it's a premise for a show, I understand that it's a reality show or quasi-reality show, and so it may be cooked up by producers and people sitting in, California offices. But what are we to make of this notion that they're going to apprentice young women to become prophetesses too?
The whole thing sounds manipulative. It sounds controlling, and it's like, where are they getting this idea from? That that somebody, if somebody has a legitimate prophetic gift, and let's say God was truly speaking to them and giving them a message to speak to others, how would you apprentice that? That's just ridiculous. If God, it's either God speaking to you or he's not, and the only thing you need to be able to, prepare yourself for such a thing would be able to actually learn how to listen. That's about it, and take notes so that you're conveying the message properly. But I mean, there's so many problems here. It's just not even funny. And as I watched the first episode, I mean, what I saw were these women who were lording their so-called prophetic gift over these poor proteges who really believed that these prophetic women hung the moon. And in some cases, what you really just came across is that these women are snowed and being controlled and exploited by these women who claim to have these prophetic gifts. It's so truly tragic to watch.
So whether it's a reality television program with a bunch of women claiming to have the gift of prophecy, or it's someone else who claims to hear directly from God, it kind of brings us back to the vision casting leaders too. There's not a big difference, although there's a lot of difference in the pomp and the circumstance. There's certainly very little difference between your average ordinary pastor who claims he's getting visions directly from God and some woman on a Lifetime reality TV show theologically, right, Chris?
That's correct. Both of them at their core are claiming to be receiving words from God. And understand me when I tell you this. If they were truly legitimately hearing words from God, we are duty bound as Christians to hear those words and believe those words and ultimately actually add those words to our Bible. Because they are binding on the Christian conscience. And so when somebody is claiming to be receiving direct revelation from God, unfortunately, the Christian church is just all too ready and all too eager to hear somebody out who speaks that way without ever testing their life, their theology, their doctrine, to see if this person is truly hearing from God. And as a result of not actually testing at all, what ends up happening is that these people get very large platforms and are basically, and they go unchallenged and untested. And of course, if you ask the biblical questions, immediately you are, cast aside, thrown under the bus, or and called a hater, and the verse that says in the Bible, "Touch not God's anointed," is thrown in your face as if you're sinning, when in reality all you're doing is calling the question: is this person really hearing from God when their theology contradicts and their messages contradict what God's word says?
So what's at stake here with about a minute? What's at stake?
Well, here's the deal. It's a form of distraction. Faith always has an object. And so the question is, what is the object of your faith? Is it Christ and Him crucified for your sins? Or is the object of your faith the one claiming to be receiving direct revelation from God? Is your duty to protect that person or to actually defend the message of the cross? And so what happens is these people who come along claiming to be prophets and prophetesses, in reality what they're doing is taking the place of God in your life, and people end up putting their faith, trust, hope, and dreams and aspirations in that one claiming to be a prophet rather than in Jesus Christ. And it's a sure certain formula for shipwrecking your faith and making in the end that you end up walking away from Christianity altogether after you've been abused by a person like that.
Chris, what's on the Fighting for the Faith docket tonight?
Oh, boy. We're going to cover a little bit of this PREACH program ourselves. But we've got a Perry Stone update. We're going to be looking at supposed, 18th century prophecies and 19th century prophecies pertaining to the end of the world that were given by American prophets to see if this is actually legit.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour from right now after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. You can also meet and hear Chris speaking a week from today. Boy, it's crept up on us, hasn't it? At the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Chris will be making the case against vision casting leaders in the church at the conference. You still have time to register at issuesetc.org. The spaces are very few. We have scholarships available for college and seminary students. If you're interested, call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or send an email to conference@issuesetc.org, conference@issuesetc.org. It's the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June the 19th, and Saturday, June the 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners, playing Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four soundbites from this week's Issues, Etc. audio. Then you're going to call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your vote will decide which one will be Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
We're going to take a look at the ecclesiastical model employed by much of American evangelicalism today, especially as put forward by the seeker-driven movement.
Chris Rosebrough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We're going to take a look at where this idea of a vision-casting leader comes from, what its main tenets are, and we're going to compare that so-called ecclesiastical office to the biblical office of pastor, to see if the two are actually synonymous and interchangeable, or if this concept of a vision-casting leader actually turns a pastor into a false prophet.
You can meet and hear Chris Rosebrough making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church June 19th and 20th at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received Him, who believed in His name, the Gospel of John says, He gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.